Order in the court.
Welcome to another episode of Rap in Order. I'm First Class Reg.
I'm Tori MB.
How we feeling today, sir?
Feeling pretty good, man. Feeling pretty good. I just saw Kanye West in a Sean John tank top.
Like, where the fuck did he get that from?
I feel like, he probably sent his fucking assistant on a fucking wild goose chase.
Yeah, for that specifically.
Yeah.
Like, you know what would be fly? Sean John tank top.
Yeah, because
I don't think I've ever seen a Sean John tank top.
No, I've definitely seen him in Macy's.
Yeah, man, this resurgence of Ye is going to be interesting. I don't know what angle he's going to take next. I just want him to produce.
Yeah, because what he did.
Yeah, what he did to that Like That beat is insane.
Right. So, we were speculating if Metro even like authorized it or knew, but Metro co-signed it.
Metro co-signed the fuck out of that. So yeah, we'll see what comes from it. Have you been to the movies lately?
I have not. I just saw a trailer. What is his name? Michael Knight Shyamalan.
Oh, M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan has a new movie where, like, this guy takes his daughter to, like, a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like, some big, like, ploy to, like, get him there. And, like, this whole, like, suspense thriller starts. And it looked pretty interesting.
Okay. King of Twists.
Right. Yeah. And, like, the trailer feels like it gave the whole movie away. But, obviously, that's probably just the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. I haven't even seen the trailer that you're talking about. But I have heard about it. M. Night Shyamalan, you know, he gets a bad rap. Rightfully so, because he's done some trash movies in the past, but he does have some really good pivotal joints. Like, you know, obviously The Sixth Sense is like the main one. So I'll check it out. But I bring that up to say, I want to see Monkey Man. That shit.
Sarah's mentioned that. And I like when she said it to me, I was like, that sounds racist.
It does. Yeah. Jordan Peele did the movie. Does that make sense? Yeah, I wanna check that out. I wanna see that, and I'm curious about that Zendaya movie.
Oh, yeah, like, she had tennis player. It looks like she
did a train ran on her by two white dudes.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. If you are in a room and it's you and your homeboy and one young lady, is that always a train or is it a threesome?
So by definition, in my opinion, I think a threesome. All parties are involved,
not with one person waiting their turn.
Are in the mix.
It's always funny to hear that for me because sometimes like Sarah will fuck with me and she'll be like, why is it always a guy's fantasy to have two women, but a girl can't have a fantasy to be two guys? And I was like, all right, so who would you like the other guy to be?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm just curious. Like, you're like, what would entertain you? And then it gets funny because it's just like, you don't want to see your man, like, you really want to see your man in a compromising position? Because I don't want to be in that compromising position. So it's always really funny when you hear that. And then some women, you got someone that look at you and be like, yes, I'm into that shit. And then you really got to, like,
you know, it's by definition, even though for a woman, it can be a very powerful thing to have two men that you want to, you know, do their thing with you and that go down. But I don't think it's classified as that's not a threesome. To me.
Yeah,
that's like,
I get it.
Even if you take power of it being what it is, it's still a train.
Yeah. Damn, I forgot what actress told that story and everybody was dogging her saying, nah, baby, yeah, them niggas ran a train on you. I forgot her name. She's like an older actress. It was on a Breakfast Club. And like, and Charlamagne was like, nah, that's a train.
That's a train.
Like she said, like for her 50th birthday, like she had sex with like two of her male best friends.
Yo, and that's okay. But it's a train. You ain't got to give it a negative connotation, but it is what it is. It's not, I think by definition, threesome, all parties is getting down. So if I'm having sex with two women and they into each other too, that's
a threesome.
Yeah.
But if you're sleeping with two women, ladies, and like shorty sitting there smoking a cigarette with your turn to jump on you, that's a train.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I don't even know how we got here. But, the Zendaya movie. So I am curious. I am curious about the movie. I do want to check it out. I like Zendaya as an actress. I know she produced this movie as well. I want to see what she did with it. So it's a serious tennis film. I want to see what comes from it. And I haven't been, it made me realize too, I haven't been to the movies in a little minute. It's been a while.
Okay.
Oh, I saw the Bob Marley movie. That was the last thing I saw.
The last thing I saw was Dune 2.
Okay. Yeah, that was a okay. So Zendaya yeah. movie.
But man, I might go to the movies on Monday or Tuesday, depending on how I'm feeling when I get out of work.
Yeah, man. I think it's time. I need to do better.
Yeah, I need some
theater.
Some little press plates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this is kind of like you know, right on time. Well, it's bad time. We're doing this future album. We definitely got to say RIP to Rico Wade mm-hmm. of Organized Noize and the Dungeon Family.
Yeah.
He is the architect of he's one of the architects. I think him and Jermaine Dupri can share that credit. I'll give it to them. Him, Jermaine Dupri, and L.A. Reid and Babyface. Like, I don't think that they get a lot of credit for what they did with the Fakes Records. But mm-hmm. Rico Wade definitely, like, with the more hip-hop, like, cultivating the hip-hop scene of Atlanta and, like, depicting it a different way than some people might have been used to.
Yeah.
But, like, they definitely were pioneers and, like, it wasn't even just rap, like what he did with R&B and like other genres and things like that. It kind of makes me like wonder like why Organized Noize and like Rico Wade, why like did their sound become like outdated to the big wigs in the music industry?
I don't think so. I think, and this is something we're going to touch on later about like Organized Noize and how they're viewed and Dungeon Family mm-hmm. And how it's viewed. In the public, I just think it's more so it looks like this best kept secret type vibe, and it makes me think of the Soulquarians, where like you have all these established artists, they all go to one spot to go create, and that's what like Rico Wade's space was.
Let's do an episode on the Soulquarians because from what I've heard is that like it was the Soulquarians. Sorry guys, we're like varying like everywhere, but. It came from like a night, like a jam session at Electric Lady Studios.
Yeah,
and like that week, like everybody kept coming through, and then I think Questlove coined it that, mm-hmm. and nobody wanted any parts of it.
Yeah, but I guess you could think of it, and then think of like the people that were in that space, mm-hmm. That all collaborated together. So like,
yeah, oh yeah, so
but
many.
Then they also used to go to Jay Dilla's crib. And right, like all of them worked in Dilla's basement,
right?
You know, at some point, like just went there just to like go collab and like just build. And then that turned into them just doing a back and forth thing. But saying all that to say, like, it comes back around to Rico Wade where like okay. they all used his space in that way too.
Right. I just think that I don't understand how like, okay. You see what Dr. Dre did. Right. And like how pretty much Jimmy Iovine was like, yo, you're my guy. You're going to stay with me. I'm very confused. Like, and Clive Davis had Puff, and he had Puff next to him. I'm just confused because I guess because Organized Noize was like an extension because they were on Arista as well,
mm-hmm.
and like their extension was through L.A. Reid. So L.A. Reid was kind of like their like middleman. But it just really like baffles me. I'm like, these motherfuckers made Waterfalls.
Yeah,
like one of the biggest pop records for anybody. I think any pop star. Would love to have a song like Waterfalls. I'm like, damn, like, I know that they're respected and they get their attention, but like, it always like, and this is something I guess like, okay. yeah. I guess like, this is something like people in the music industry in the know could explain to me because I'm just like, I understand why Dr. Dre got his recognition. I understand why Puff got his recognition. But like, how did Organized Noize as the songwriters and producers that they are as a team not get propped up? Like, how did they not get like a better position of all the talent that like came through those men.
Mm-hmm.
There's something I think about from time to time. And,
yeah.
And I guess it's sometimes it's just about like who likes you and who don't, you know, because like at Interscope, Jimmy Iovine had like a team of people. He had Will I Am, he had Swizz Beatz, he had Timbaland, he had Dr. Dre, and he had I said Will I Am, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's another like producer, like to make sure all his pop shit was on point
mm-hmm.
at a certain time. So I just think about that sometimes.
It is interesting. For the viewers, we don't go on this this tangent for no reason. It kind of ties it just ties into the artist that we're visiting today. Like we're doing a future album and we had all this talk about, you know, Dungeon Family because Future was one of those right. members and had close ties with Rico Wade. But future album that we're doing today, well rather mixtape, is Monster. Monster was released October 28th, 2014. It's his 13th mixtape release from it's the 13th mixtape release from Future. Along with Beast Mode and 56 Nights, is considered a trilogy of album quality mixtapes and was executive produced by Metro Boomin. It was fueled by Future's breakup with Ciara at the time. He had a lot of press for that, publicly going through a lot at the time. His career was going in one place and then ended up in another, where like we were seeing him at that time as like this guy that, like, you know, he's with this girlfriend that everyone loves. He's writing music for her. That's what he started doing. But then also he was doing his own thing too. And he was kind of meeting himself in it, of creating the type of content that he wanted, and then restructuring Ciara's career at the time was his plan. But they had a very public breakup, and then she became kind of the driving force of this time period.
Yep.
So yeah, like I said, this came out in 2014. What were your thoughts on Monster and this Future run at the time?
It was a return to form. Like we thought like we lost him. We was like, oh damn, like he's engaged to Ciara, like they look great. He wrote her Body Party. It's over. Like we lost him. He's about to become polished up. Like, you know, all of the shit that like we left him for is like gone. And he wasn't with that shit. He didn't like it. Like they tried. I think the last straw, what I heard in the interview, was that they wanted to rush the wedding and it was going to be on the E channel. And he wanted no parts of that shit. He was like, I don't want to do that. I'm not even comfortable with that shit. Yeah, he was like, I'm not even comfortable with these people being around. And then remember at that time, like, he was hit. That's how him and Kanye got close, because, like, Ciara and Kim were like, you guys both like music, be friends. And they recorded together and everything like that, but it wasn't what Future wanted. And he was very worried about feeding the streets and keeping his core fan base, like, happy. And I can't knock him for that. And I think that, him being a fly on the wall in the Dungeon fam and with the in the Dungeon with Rico Wade and the Dungeon family, like kind of like helped him like understand, like, you know, a balance, like him watching the rise of Outkast and watching the rise of CeeLo Green. I think that he understood, like, all right, I want to stay more grounded. I still want to feed the streets, like on some Goody Mob shit. I still want to keep that grit. Like, so I got to like find like a balance to like go pop a little bit or make records that can get me on the top 40, but I still wanted my core fan base to still know that I'm here and I'm not changing. And he was like, I gotta be able to say crazy shit. I gotta be able to say I'm doing these drugs. I gotta be able to say the night was crazy. I gotta say I did these things with these women. And I guess him being with Ciara, that kind of handicapped him into not doing it, because, you know, who was gonna believe that Ciara was like her husband doing?
Yeah. And that just wasn't her image. Like, we knew Ciara from Goodies.
Like, Ciara is kind of like our America's sweetheart at one point. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah, very much clean, but seductive R&B. So that was Ciara that whole time.
Yeah, like, basically, it was the equivalent of Ciara that had Chili to date in, like, the school drug dealer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, Ciara be leaving school and... it's like, all right, I'll see y'all. And she hops in a drop top with like tinted windows.
Yeah, nothing but smoke coming out of it.
Smoke coming out of it. And they're like, damn. Like,
so let me ask you, did you listen to the Apple Music version of this project or the SoundCloud version?
I listened to the Apple Music version.
Thank God. Okay. Yeah. Because at first I reviewed it to SoundCloud.
Okay.
Sarah was like, you know, like there's a different version. And what really pissed me off is Fuck Up Some Commas is not on this.
I know. So the original version is 16 songs. The Apple Music version is 13. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Fuck Up Some Commas is not on this one. He got, is it Boomin? Forget what it is. To look it up. There's a couple songs on here that kind of help define this mixtape that don't make it to the official version.
Yep.
Which was kind of weird to me. But yeah.
Like there's a couple songs. Let's see. I could tell you right now was not on there. It's just like the intro is not on there.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Up Some Commas is not on there. That's two. And then there's one other one. I think that's like a damn. What song is it that didn't make it?
I think it's Harley.
Now, Harley made it.
Oh, Harley is on here. Showed Up?
It got to be Showed Up, I think.
Showed Up is on here. Yeah.
Is it Showed Up?
Nah, Showed Up is on here. Oh, the skit.
The skit.
Abu's Boomin'.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, so Abu's Boomin', the intro, and Fuck Up Some Commas are the three songs that are not on here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like it kind of, gives it like a different feel. Like, I mean, it's still like a great project, and it doesn't make it like worse. It's just like, fuck, like, I know Fuck Up Some Commas is on it.
Yeah, Fuck Up Some Commas was big for him, and I don't know why it's not on the official version. It had a really good remix with, I think it was Gucci Mane and Big Sean on the remix.
Yeah, man, like that song that summer got played a lot, a lot.
It was a big moment for Future. And this song, I mean, this album, like you said, helped redefine a moment for him, especially leading into, like, imagine coming off of this and then going into DS2. Like, that's such a big run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his run was nuts at that.
Him and Metro, I got to give credit to, like, I think Metro was at the front of it with Future, but I think it's Metro, Future, 808 Mafia, Southside. Mike Will is included in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more.
Like, you're talking about just producers?
Producers, like, creating the sound of what trap music is. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
I guess Zaytoven as well.
Yeah, Zaytoven, yeah. For sure.
So, yeah, I think, like, those people that I just named are, like, very, like, instrumental. I think, am I forgetting Weezy? Does Weezy get in there, too, or no?
You're out of here. Yeah, you could put Weezy in there. And I think overall, just as, like, a presence, around this time, DJ Esco was like...
Okay, yeah, DJ. Yeah. I mean, he was Future's DJ and, like, I mean, the 56 Nights mixtape.
Yeah.
Definitely defining. But they definitely spawned, like, a generation of artists on Future and Metro.
Yeah, they did. So, without further ado, we get into the album. It kicks off with Radical,
mm-hmm.
which helps set the tone and has, like, this numbness to it. It's like this... And mind you, keep in mind that this album came out just a couple days before Halloween that year.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole theme kind of ties together. I think Metro has this obsession with Halloween. When you look at how him and One work together, they have like this bond and like this chemistry when it comes to like his production. His production is like very moody and eerie.
Yeah.
And I think what he started creating with Future back then, he capitalized off of with 21 when he started working with him in 2016, because he was able to take somebody that had this horror music type theme to him, mm-hmm. that he could play into with his production.
Yeah, I definitely, like, when I listen to 21 Savage, I definitely think of him like Michael Myers or Jason.
Yeah.
And I definitely think of Future as Dracula.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. I think of Future just running around with a cape, just biting women's necks and shit. And yeah. Just being fucking toxic.
Yeah. Bad party. So Radical was a really good kickoff for this album, in my opinion, because of that. And because of that production. And then we lead into Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so fucking good. If he was Dracula, this would be his song.
Yeah, 808 Mafia and Metro Boomin did such like an incredible job together on this shit. Yeah, and like this song, like, they're a great combo together.
Mm-hmm.
And Future can literally say anything, get away with it. Like, yeah. I feel like he really leaned into it. Like, he was like, "Yo, I'm literally going to show this bitch to Sierra," like, his words, not mine. Like I can do whatever the fuck I want. The fans mm-hmm. gonna love me. They gonna love me even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he really proved that. Like, he just was like, all right, like, they want Toxic, they want old Future, I'm gonna
that's
give
what
it
I'm
to
giving
him.
That's what I'm giving to him. Future does a lot of fan service.
Yeah.
Even now on this run that he's on, he knows how important it was for him to get back with Metro. How much his fans really like him with Metro.
Yeah.
Monster is like on my gym play. Like, I still play that song. It's just such a good fucking song. Production is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into Throwaway.
The most toxic song in history.
This song is pivotal in Future's toxicity. Like, it's like when people say that Future's toxic and you say, give me a song while you say that, they're going to name this.
Yeah. Also, I think that I've come across way more women that enjoy this song than men.
Really?
Yeah.
That second half is what does it. Because the first half, he's just like, yo, like, he's talking about not, you know, not caring about this woman at all. And then realizing he loves her. And then he's like, yo, if you need to fuck that nigga, go get it over with, you know, but I'm here. Like, just like, what? Like, look at what you're trying to find solace in. Like, this nigga is just wired different.
Yeah, of course he is. Like, I think
got my dick sucked. I was thinking about you. Like, it's just, you know,
the toxicity. And I think some women like that shit.
Yeah, like, because for them it's honest.
Yeah, I've seen some women like perform this shit word for word, bar for bar. Like, mm-hmm. Oh shit. Like, the first time I like it came to my caught my attention was seeing how women went crazy for this shit.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Throwaway is a standout Future record, not just on this album but in his catalog. Like, it's, you know, it really defines a moment for him. It, you know, like, pivotal, very pivotal.
I agree.
And then you get into our one and only feature on this album, or right. This album version, is Wayne.
Yeah. And that's crazy because it's like, that. This is like one of the most forgettable Wayne verses I've ever heard.
You think so?
Yeah.
I really like this Wayne verse.
I was just like, damn, like, you know, I think this was like out of it, Wayne.
On the re-listen, I was like, damn, I forgot all about this verse. But I really like it. But then it had me entertaining the idea of what would a Future and Wayne project sound like.
I think it would be great. I think now we probably won't get it, but
no. Well, why not?
You right. It's Wayne. I mean, yeah. What the fuck is Drake going to tell Wayne?
Yeah. Yeah. Wayne could do it.
Yeah.
He don't care. Wayne would be like, Wayne would do it. And then Drake question him about it. And he'd be like, y'all beefing?
Yeah.
Like, that nigga won't even know.
Yeah. He'll be like, what you
he don't know
about?
What the fuck is going on right now.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Unless it's sports. Yeah. Unless it's sports. Yeah.
You can't be mad. He'd be like, what? Hey, y'all beefing for real?
Yeah. That's funny.
Shout out my nigga Gucci. But yeah, nah, I think this track is hard. I liked it a lot. But then we go into My Savages, which is another one. That's like 2015 encapsulated.
Yeah.
Everybody was saying savage.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you a savage, you this, you that. Like, it just fits that time so well.
You wanna hear something funny? So one time, I don't know why, like, I was making sandwiches. And like, I was playing this song, and I was just like, my sandwiches, my sandwiches, my sandwiches. I don't know why. Like, and then I just do it in my head from time to time. And when I have, like, when I go to Haji's and get a sandwich or something like that, and it's really good, like, I hum it to myself.
That's bad, buddy.
Yeah, it's a random fun fact.
Yeah, I have songs like that I do little remixes like that for. What is it? Oh. All about the Benjamins, which I want to do. Want to eat Fritos.
That's
I've
good.
Been saying that since I was like in eighth grade.
Wow, that's funny.
I don't know why. But yeah, My Savages is a 2015 staple, and it aged very well, and it's still very enjoyable. Tupac.
Have you ever heard a good song with Tupac's name in it?
I liked Tupac back when it came out.
That was okay, but I feel like they don't be doing Pac justice. Like, this is not a slight to Tupac. I think that a lot of people use his name in songs, or like use songs influenced by him, and like they don't execute it well. Or I haven't heard somebody where I'm like, wow, I think Pac would be proud of this song.
Mm.
I'm not being obtuse. I'm dead serious. I don't think that someone has released a song. Maybe Nipsey.
What Tupac song Nipsey got?
Not with his name in it, okay. But like, I'm just saying, like, I think like Pop would have fucked with Nipsey.
Okay.
I think he either liked Kendrick. I definitely don't think he'd have liked Drake. He might have liked J. Cole. It depends.
I think he would like Drake. Well, yeah, but I think he would call J. Cole soft.
Yeah, I think so. But like, you know, because J. Cole is definitely Brenda Got a Baby vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think he would have liked Kendrick as well. Like, just respected him just cause. But certain artists, like, I like, you know. I just don't think he would have enjoyed Tupac back. That's just my...
That, yeah.
I think he'd have fucked with Griselda heavy, though.
I think he would like Griselda. I think he would like Future.
Yeah, I think he would like Future, too.
Yeah.
But let me stay on track, because I don't want you guys to say I lost track. Yes, songs with Tupac's name in them are not good, and people need to stop disgracing that man's name. It's just my opinion.
So that one carries us into Gangland.
Yo. So
my type of hood rat activity.
Yeah, I think the horn siren throughout the project,
mm-hmm.
is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I think that was my first time like hearing it so much on a project, because like this album definitely, like, even though it has like a spooky feel, like it feels like you're playing like Super Nintendo as well.
I can see that. I didn't think about that.
And like, you hear like different like noises and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Metro Boomin was a gamer.
I want to say he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he strikes me as a gamer. Like, and so like, I'm like, all right, I get it. Cause like Swiss Beast got in trouble for doing that. And I know Just Blaze is a gamer, but I don't know if he really leaned into it the way that he should. Cause he has so many other things going
mm-hmm.
on,
mm-hmm.
but yeah.
What we think of Fetty?
It's my favorite track off the album.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Fetty is good. It's not my favorite. I think we're going to get into the last couple are my favorite, actually.
Okay.
So we get into Hardly. Hardly is so painful. It's like, this nigga is sad. Like, yeah. For real. Like, but then. So I have a question for you. So.
Okay.
You see how J. Cole recently did the apology and it made you kind of look at his, the quality of his content different, right? Because it's so braggadocious. What about, how do you look at, do you still look at Future the same? Because Future has gone on record to say he be sober, but he just makes this music that he knows the masses enjoys.
Well, all right. I guess this is going to be me moving the goalposts. I guess because like I don't indulge in that shit. Like I'm actually relieved.
Yeah.
That he doesn't do all the drugs that he says he does.
And I only say that because when I listen to a song like Hardly, where it's so painful and so personal, he's talking about overdosing on perks, waking up drinking that syrup, get intoxicated, trying to fight my demons.
Well, I think at one point he was doing that.
Okay.
I think that was like him. I don't think that was in his present. I think that was in his past.
Yeah.
And I think that like, you know, he realized like you can't live doing this. And
yeah.
He still gives his fans that. And I think that, you know, it kind of disappoints them to know like, yo, you're really not killing yourself.
Yeah, but, which is a crazy thought, right? I just think about it because I'm just like, it just makes me ask. I guess I only question it because it makes me question myself and why I like the certain shit that I like. Because he wouldn't be saying this, there wasn't an audience for it. So it's like, he's saying this and I like listening to it, but then I listen to it and I'm like, damn, this is what he's reducing me to. Like he knows that I like listening to this shit and he's sober as fuck. He's not really pouring out anything and like, you know.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I understand what you mean. Like, I'm okay with it. Like, mm-hmm. It's the reason why I hold it different with J. Cole is because, like, they're just words. Like, you're saying, like, I'm the best rapper. Like, you're making mm-hmm. a statement. I don't think Future's the best drug addict or anything like that. Like, he's saying, you know, he's rapping about it. And maybe he's just rapping about old times. Like, you know, Jay-Z says, like, you know, I recall. I don't, like, y'all. Y'all record, I recall.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just one of those things.
That's true. Okay, so that goes in, I guess that touches on Hardly. What about Wesley Presley, which is a crazy thought to think about. Like two people from completely different worlds that he just combined them. Wesley Snipes and Elvis Presley.
I liked it, and for some reason, I don't know why, but I was like, damn, this feels like his take on like a spaghetti western or something like that. I don't know. I got that vibe.
Yeah, I could see that. I did like it. The combination of those very different people was enough for me to really enjoy it. And I think it doesn't come up enough. I do think it's a highlight on its album.
Yeah, Wesley Presley is fucking dope.
Yeah.
It's a great listen.
Mm-hmm. And then Showed Up. Kind of a throwaway for me.
I don't really have thoughts on it. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, it's kind of skippable. But then we get back on track with Mad Love,
which I enjoy his flow on it very mm-hmm. much.
Mad Love is his flow on it is crazy. His cadence is dope, and he sounds alive. Thank God.
Yeah.
especially after listening to Hardly,
yeah.
He sounds great.
He definitely, you could tell he definitely made this probably maybe at 6 p.m.
Yeah, like midday
yeah.
type shit. Yeah. That is the vibe to this. But then, you know, we go from 6 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Cody and Crazy, man. That song, there's so many people that crashed out because of this song.
Yeah.
And that's not even like, I'm not laughing like because it's funny, like tragically what happened to them, but this song definitely put people in a mode like I want to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it like this
at
was
your,
just yeah
at your own fucking risk. Yeah. I think this there was a story that TM88 he revealed that this beat was originally made for Nicki Minaj to go on the Pink Print.
Wow.
Yeah.
She ain't know what to do with it.
And I guess she just wasn't responding in time, and Future was in the zone and was like, yo, he hit him up and was like, yo, I need something. And I guess you could say it was like I think about it in the sense of like the story about Wham Wham when it was made for Foxy.
Okay.
But then they gave it to Clips because she just didn't get back in time, and they made what they made out of it, and she got mad. Like, that was for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case for Nicki, but, you know, it's just that similarity. I think I would have loved to see what Nicki did with that beat, you know, but Codeine Crazy is beautiful.
Yo, if I was an artist, I think I would take the approach that, like, Wayne takes and just record over everything. If you use it, you use it. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah. But then I guess Wayne is unique in that sense where, like, some people are more selective. And right, Wayne, because
they gotta have something to say. Like,
yeah,
I would just write. Like, I feel like Jadakiss could do that too. I feel like you give Jadakiss a beat, like he can say something over that shit. Like, mm-hmm. There's just certain artists that can, and then certain artists be like, yo, I kind of like Foxy Brown. It doesn't surprise me that like she was sitting on a record or whatever like that, because it seems like she gotta have like the perfect setting in the studio.
I can't even hear Foxy on Wham.
I can't either, but that's why I think she had a hard time. I think she had to like figure out her cadence. And during that time was when she was kind of like going more like the reggae, SoCal kind of rapping and everything like that. So, you know, I think of that because wasn't she married to Sprague Benz?
If they weren't married, they were together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that like, you know, she probably had to figure out what kind of pocket she was going to get in. It was taking her time. But like, yeah, I don't understand it. If I'm a rapper, yo, I'm feed me beats.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Especially just to stay sharp at least. So yeah, I guess that takes us to the end of this album. I think my standouts, Codeine Crazy, Monster, after that is one. My Savages is another. Yeah, I would give this album, or mixtape rather, a 3.5 out of 5. I think it's part of the culmination of the future that we know now. It feeds into his legacy and what he's given us. And where we see him now, we wouldn't even have without a mixtape like Monster.
I give this project a 4 out of 5 waffles. I think of the trilogy, this is the best one of the trilogy. And shit, I'll argue until Dirty Sprite 2, this was his best project.
Really?
Until Dirty Sprite 2.
How'd you feel about 56 Nights?
I don't enjoy 56 Nights as much as I enjoy Monster. Mm. I think that this, like, you know, and I'm just saying, like, in time frames, like, obviously he has a ton of more projects out now, but I think that Monster was his best project until he put out Dirty Sprite 2.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's a whole nother conversation of rankings. I just don't feel like going through it, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, no, that's a very strenuous ranking. But, yeah, I guess you guys should let us know what you think. I think my favorite Future mixtape is probably 56 Nights. That time frame, I think the story and everything that went into it plays into it more. And it was just an unforgettable bad feature. I mean, this whole time frame was
very, 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 very good song. Very
but
good.
To appreciate Future now, you got to revisit his older stuff to see how far he's come. So I do encourage all our listeners and viewers to revisit this project. Let us know what you think. Get back to us in the comments. I'm First Class Reg,
and I'm Torian B,
and we're out of here.
We'll catch you next time. Dun dun.